Kenneth Trump is the president of the National School Safety and Security Services. He speaks, he testifies in Congress, and provides all kinds of services regarding the issue of school safety and school shootings. Kenneth, welcome to the Karen Conti Show. How are you?
Karen, good to be with you. Thank you.
Let's get right to it. Columbine was about 20 years ago. We have school shootings that are continuing. Why is this still happening?
We're dealing with human behavior. The good news is we're actually getting better at preventing these incidents. We often don't hear about those that are prevented, but the bad news is we still see some that slip through the cracks. And in my work, I also do a good deal of expert witness work, and while the facts and merits of the cases vary, whether it's active shooter cases, rape, sexual assault, child abductions from school, or other crimes of violence, the common thread is that they involve allegations of failures of people, procedures, and systems, not failures of products and hardware. So this is a people issue.
One of the things that I think that I heard you speak about on various news networks and online is that we are thwarting and preventing attempts at school shootings, but that doesn't get a lot of press. So we're kind of feeling, I guess, collectively that the school shootings are increasing, and I don't know if that's the case, but we, in some ways, I guess, should focus on how some of these school shootings have been prevented and maybe learn from those. Is that being done?
Well, prevention is hard to quantify. It's hard to put numbers on, as we know. And school shootings are, fortunately, low probability but high impact situations. So we know that when these hit, they come to the forefront of the mind. They're ahead of the news stories. They're embedded in news stories for weeks and months. So it does stay in the forefront of our mind, and it does have a high impact. But Dr. Christine Ice, who's my advisor at Johns Hopkins in my dissertation program, brought out a great point when we co-presented at our residency a few weeks ago. And she said that we are at a point where we're defining school safety in the negative. The absence of a shooting equates to a safe school. And she talked about the fact that we need to identify what makes a safe school and think about it in the positive way. What are the positive things that makes a school safe? And there are many things that go along with that on a continuum of prevention and intervention efforts, emotional, behavioral, mental health support for kids, dealing with school climate, school discipline, security, policing, a sort of part of that. But there's a lot more to it than just school shootings.
So I want to get to some really quick details here. I want to get right to it. Let's talk about prevention. In your opinion, if you look at all the school shootings that started with Columbine, although that wasn't the first school shooting by any means, if you Monday morning quarterback that, do you see that there was a way to have prevented it? Meaning, were there signs for these shooters? Were there signs, or would you say the majority of them had signs, or the majority of them you wouldn't have been able to prevent?
Well, I think it's easy to armchair quarterback, and that's the challenge, is that we know that whether we're talking about a school shooter or other kids that have many other issues that they bring to the schoolhouse doors, and the kids that are contemplating suicide, for example, which is a really growing concern, is that a lot of people have different pieces to the puzzle, but those pieces are not put together. Those warning signs are not put together in the puzzle until after the tragedy occurs. The challenge is, how do we make those connections? How do we integrate that data? How do we share information so that the piece that the counselor has, the school resource officer, the principal, the parent, can all be pulled together before the crisis actually occurs? And that's the hard part. We're dealing with the people issue.
And if you had, let's get concrete. If you had your way, what would be like two or three bullet points? How would you change, whether it's what goes on in the school or what goes on in the community, to sort of give us a heads up when we think this kind of thing might happen? Are there some real concrete suggestions that you have for changes?
Well, there are, but it's not just one or two things, and that's the challenge of this. So it has to be comprehensive and balanced and involve a number of things. First of all, we need to create a culture where kids come forward and tell an adult that they trust. The number one way we find out about weapons is when the kid comes forward and talks to an adult about a plot, a threat, a weapon in school. We need to make sure that we have threat assessment teams, training, and protocols in place to evaluate different threats and act upon those in a professional way according to best practice protocols. Evaluate security and emergency planning diversify school drills, don't go over the top, provide emotional, behavioral, mental health intervention supports for students who need services, and a number of other things. It's not one piece, but it's a combination of things that go into prevention and preparedness.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. If you could kind of maybe just talk just directly into the phone. I don't know if it's just a bad connection, but let's take Parkland. And you know, I think this is one where, you know, is there some way, this is just me being very simplified, but why can't we lock down a school so that either where there's fences or locked doors and that nobody can get into the doors, nobody can get in without going through a metal detector, and that the school is secured and safe? Is that something that can't be done?
Well, we see schools creating secured vestibules and looking at physical security measures, and the security product and hardware industry is certainly driving an effort to increase target hardening. But again, in many cases, the shooter is already a legitimate user of the facility. The threat is already on the inside past that secured vestibule. So I think that we can take reasonable measures to reduce access control and handle visitor management and supervise the grounds. But we talk about secured vestibules as one thing at the visitor entrance ways, but if the people leave the doors propped open by the custodial area, the food services, the gym areas, you really don't have a single point of entry in your school. Again, the people factor comes into play. So, and that doesn't take into the fact the kid who's already on the inside that's troubled that really poses the threat.
Right. Ken, thank you so much for joining us. Ken Trump is the author and co-author of 3 books, more than 450 articles on school safety. And if people wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Best way to get in touch is through the website at schoolsecurity.org.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show.